You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. Happy Tuesday. Good morning, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin. When people come together with a shared goal and a collective voice, many things can be accomplished. And a prime example of this point is Groundswell Collective. They are a group of individuals from the community of Walworth County, and they come together to work on various issues that affect the people of that area directly. And I spoke to Jeremiah Gomez and Marilyn Hayden about the work they have done to help get access to transportation on Sundays for those who need it the most. But before we get into that, let's talk to Jeremiah and Marilyn about what Groundswell is, who's a part of it, and what they do for the community.
Well, Groundswell, I think in a nutshell, is really just a group of people who have a shared desire to see the people of Walworth County thrive.
Yeah.
And so it's a group of people from many different ages, stages, and backgrounds mm-hmm. who have found this shared affinity to say, what does it look like for us to pursue the thriving of our community together, yeah. especially those who may be underserved or kind of forgotten.
Yeah. And that's something that, you know, especially in today's day and age, and we need to come together even more so as communities, mm-hmm. as we're seeing various programs, fundings being cut. It's important to look around and say, all right, how do I involve myself with the people around me? And that's something that looking at what you're doing is exactly the plan, is saying, all right, let's take care of each other, because we might be all that we have. And I don't want to say you can't rely upon government, but it shouldn't be a in situations like this, it's where we say, it's like, all right, we have to step forward and do the work first and take the bull by the horn.
Sure. And I think I can't speak for Marilyn, but I think, you know, for me, I was entering into a space where there's a lot of anxiety. There's mm-hmm. a lot of concern. I'm seeing that among the people I love and serve. And I've got to say, by connecting with people like her mm-hmm. and the others in our network, it's given me a renewed sense of hope and yeah. peace. As we say, there is an opportunity to lean forward and mm-hmm. to see the very best as yet to come as we come together. And that's been really fun to see.
Marilyn, as far as the group goes, what are you involved with? What are you working on? What do you do for Groundswell Collective?
Well, right now I'm interested in the transportation. Mm-hmm. I'm visually impaired, legally blind, and I don't drive. So that put me in that category of people who are grounded mm-hmm. because we have no way to get places.
And that's something that, you know, I've been in part of the conversation with for so long. I used to work for city government here in Racine.
Okay.
And one of the big, you know, we saw the bus services being cut because Ooh. Of cuts from the state. We saw the state saying no thank you to a plan that it was very much in the infancy. There was no real blueprint, but we just said, how about we take some of all this money that you're putting towards rebuilding our roads and widening our freeways, how about we bring a metro line up to Racine so people Ooh. From Racine could possibly have transportation to Chicago to get yeah. jobs? Like, that was, transportation was always something that was very high up on the mayor who I worked for, on his list. And it consistently is slapped down. I feel mm-hmm. like transportation, especially in busing situations, for folks like yourself, Marilyn, who you need that access. A lot of times our leaders don't truly understand how important it is, because I don't think it doesn't affect them to a certain point. Mm-hmm. And the lobbying that comes from them don't have the money that, say, you know, a gun lobby or a roads lobby has. So it's up to folks like yourself to come together, organize, and speak on behalf of folks like yourself, Marilyn, who need this transportation. And that's what you did. Mm-hmm. And that's what you did in Walworth. And not only, and I don't want to give away the whole story, but it came together and it worked in stunning fashion. Can you tell yes. the story of what you all did to get more more hours on the buses than Walworth County?
Yeah. I mean, well, it started with an awareness that Walworth County was the only county within its kind of status that didn't have a Sunday transportation option yeah. for people.
No, wait, none?
It did not have a public Sunday transportation option.
Right. Oh God. I just figured, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is moving from something that wasn't available to, I can't remember quite what the numbers are, Marilyn, but I think it was, you know, in January when it finally kicked off, I think it was around, did we say 20 riders?
20, I think.
And then in June up to 200, in round figures.
Yeah.
So that shows that there's a real need there. How that happened were folks like Marilyn showing up at those county board meetings, budget meetings, mm-hmm. but it took really connecting with her and friends that she had and friends that we had and saying, we want our leaders to know this is a real felt need, that there are real faces and stories mm-hmm. who are connected to this need. And they were responsive.
And that, I think, is the most impressive. I shouldn't be impressed by that, but I'm impressed by leaders who listen nowadays. Mm. When you hear elected officials, whether they are local, state, or federal, listening to the people and saying, "All right, Marilyn, you have a need. How do we meet that need?" And I want to read the numbers because I have it in the press release here. In January, in Walworth County, when this program started, because as you said, there was no Sunday ridership
Correct.
Whatsoever, mm-hmm. which to me is mind blowing. Because I guess they just expected you to stay home. It was 40 trips that month in January. By June of this year, it was 229. In less than half a year, it went up by 472.5%.
Yeah.
That shows, one, to me, the power of organizing, doing exactly what you did. The leaders listening and implementing, and it becoming a return on investment because, you know, like you have to pay for the buses, the servicing, mm-hmm. the people who did, but it obviously with 472.5% increase, that is a net benefit for everyone, whether you're riding or you're repairing the bus.
Or you have an employee who needs to be able to get to work
mm-hmm.
or you're somebody who's looking to go to church and can't connect into meaningful community in that way. So we really have seen it be a beautiful thing.
In the next hour, I'm going to be playing for you another clip from this interview I did with Jeremiah Gomez and Marilyn Hayden from Groundswell Collective. And they'll be talking about the event they're going to be holding today, this morning, their call to action for childcare. So you don't want to miss it. If you want to find out more, go to civicmedia.us/shows. Look for Matt and Air on Air, and you can find all the information in our show notes. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 6:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. You can't get around it, and you can't get away from it. The 2024 presidential election was a great shock to a lot of people, and with it brought self-reflection, specifically within the Democratic Party. There's been a lot of reckoning and a lot of talk about how to get the message clearer and get it out to the people. And I spoke to the chair of the Outagamie Democratic Party, Emily Cephos. She wrote a new article for the Recombobulation Area entitled How Democrats Can Rebuild Trust. And you might be thinking to yourself, I live in southeastern Wisconsin. Why am I listening to Outagamie? Well, her message is simple and it crosses communities and it's applicable anywhere in Wisconsin and anywhere in the country. You wrote a new article for the Recombobulation Area and its title is very simple and very to the point. How Democrats Can Rebuild Trust. Because in 2024, a message was sent for the voters. And for me personally, I feel like there's a lot of work to be done on the Democratic side. And I'd love to get your thoughts on whether we're talking, county parties, state parties, national parties, there's a lot of work to be done. Where do you see the first steps need to be taken, Emily?
Sure. I mean, we know that we're polling as a party at a 30-year low at this point. Like we are not great at this juncture. But one of the things I wanted to point out is that not only is there I think there's a perceived connection from like the tippy top of the Democratic Party to those of us that are on the ground, like just fighting for democratic ideals. Mm-hmm. And so I really want to bring that power back to the grassroots, to the people that are living in the communities that are just showing up for their neighbor and being like, look, I mean, frankly, like if we're being honest, Greg, like it's a two-party system and it's not perfect. And mm-hmm. so there's a lot of criticisms that I could also give to what's happening within the Democratic Party. But I know that in this, in the way that we're structured with our government, that is the vehicle that we need to be pushing for at this point. And that's like how I perceive it. But I think that there's a lot that we can do at the grassroots, at the county party level, like with our neighbors to further like the cause, the ideology, and to build a lot of like power and trust back so that we can make the headways. We can start chipping away at the mountain, as it were. But all the while we're doing the right thing for our neighbors. And I think we forget about that. We're kind of waiting for someone to show up on a white horse and like carry us off into the sunset. And that's simply not going to happen. So let's take the power that we have like right here, right now, and start to utilize it in our own communities.
I'm going to quote from the article that you wrote for the Recombobulation Area, specifically with regard to the perception of the Democratic Party. It says, a recent survey showed our party's favorability at a net minus 32, which has been, which is the worst it's been in three decades. And you nailed something right there with regard to there's so many cooks in the kitchen, because you've got your local parties, you've got your county parties, you've got your state parties, and everyone wants to talk and everyone wants to see the table. And I understand that. And I think what you're discussing is probably the best start, because you can only control what's in front of you. And something that cannot be disputed, I know, because I worked on the Obama campaign in 2008. I think one of the things that really made a difference was setting up all those offices in communities, knocking on doors and talking to people.
I mean, I think that's how you break through the noise, right? Like you are being bombarded with information, whether it is from news channels or from the money players, I guess, when it comes to our politics. But what, to your point, what makes a difference is talking to your neighbors. And I think that we need to employ all of the people that care about their communities in that way to start doing that again, because we're able to silo each other off, and we too often are like, politics is taboo. That's what we're taught in the Midwest as far as like our culture is concerned. And we need to get back to connecting the hurt that people are feeling outside their front door to the policy decisions that were made to lead to that hurt, because oftentimes it is politically tied. And frankly, people are working too hard to like dig into the weeds about like what the legislation was, what passed in committee, who did what. So we need to do that for them.
I mean, I get paid to look at the news every day from multiple news sources. And sometimes people will say, did you hear that story? I'm like, how did I miss that? Or you have to remember, oh yeah, Trump said that 3 months ago. I can't believe I forgot that. I feel like this was the first election in 2024 that podcasting really played a part. And that's a whole new level. Social media came in, that was one level. Podcasting, especially, because you saw bro podcasts having on all the quote coupon. And I'm going to say this, and I know people don't like it. I think one of the reasons Donald Trump won in 2024, and you might not like this, as a brand, he's cool. He has cool branding, cool merch. He's the guy who's like, hey, you want to have Taco Bell for breakfast this morning? Let's do it. You can do it. You're American. And people hook onto that thing of just like what that brash individualism. And that came across in a whole new medium. And so now in 2025, Democrats are left saying, what do we do next? How do we do this? And as you put in the article, it doesn't come with a slogan, and it can't be finding the Joe Rogan. It's about really doing the work and investing the time.
Yeah. And I think like to your point, like that when we meet every month in Appleton and we're talking through like what we're going to do next, it's about recognizing the fact that like we can't control what's going on like with podcasts, right? Like we can't control who they're going to, fall in line for or do whatever with when it comes to the next, like the midterms or the next presidential. We can control what we're doing in our own communities and who we're talking to and how we're saying it. And I think like that is what's keeping me at this point as someone active in this political space from like curling up in the fetal position and just like kind of be like, all right, 3.5 years, we're going to white knuckle it. Like, it's really reassuring to know that if you actually do that work and you dedicate yourself and your team to doing that kind of work, you will see that you can make those inroads, that you can start to have those conversations. It is not something that people are like adverse to. It's simply because they're sucking in like the podcasts and the ads and the social media stuff, and no one's coming to counter it. Yeah. But you just need to counter it in a way that is community centered. And I think that we'll see a lot of progress that way.
My thanks to Emily Cephos, who is the chair of the Democratic Party of Outagamie County, for sitting down and talking to me about her new article, How Democrats Can Rebuild Trust, available at the Recombobulation Area right now. Stick around, because after the news, Pat welcomes Lincoln County dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser to the show to weigh in on farming and the rural area news. And in hour two, Brittany Merlot with the weather and Dan Schaefer with politics. Stay tuned. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:29. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. In the previous hour, I played for you a clip from an interview I did with Jeremiah Gomez and Marilyn Hayden from Groundswell Collective, a grassroots organization, and they talked about the work they did to get transportation access to those who need it on Sundays in the county. And we kick things off with me getting my facts straight. And something that I want to clarify, though, when I saw this and I think of ridership, I think of the bus.
Sure.
We're not talking about the public bus. We're talking about a program that gets you ridership on Sunday because, you, as you said, there's no bus.
That's correct.
So it is a whole different system that you have as far as ridership goes. Can you explain that really quickly to me and to the listeners? Sure. So they can delineate?
Sure. So, Marilyn, when you're looking for a ride, how do you get that set up?
I call the VIP services mm-hmm. in Elkhorn, and they schedule me for my time, whatever I want. And then it's a van, mostly. They're different kinds of vans, all the way from a SUV type to where they could carry a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll schedule me for my ride to come yeah. pick me up, take me to my place, pick me up and take me home if I wish.
Yeah.
And it's at a very reasonable price.
Okay.
For anywhere in Walworth County.
Great. And okay, because that, yeah, like I said, I apologize. I thought we were just talking about Sunday bus yeah. service. And that alone, I'm like, why don't you have a bus, Walworth County? But that just makes me even happier then that you now have the access mm-hmm. to that. And that it is affordable, because, you know, nowadays we see prices going up on everything. The fact that you can afford to get a ride to where you need mm-hmm. to go is important. Mm-hmm. There's also another thing, too, in the press release that you and Marilyn off air, you mentioned you wanted to talk about, too. And it's a very big problem. It's this service also helps people combat isolation, loneliness, right. Because, I mean, that's not a new thing in this world, of course, but the pandemic. And I know from my experience watching people, my family get older, there's a tendency to isolate, mm-hmm. to not go out as much for their reasons. And I'm not going to mm-hmm. criticize nor get into it right now, but this is also not just about getting people where they need to be, but getting them out in the world and talking to people. Tell me more about that and the importance of it.
Well, isolation is a deadly disease almost in yeah. the country, and people are stuck at home. They can't get out.
Yeah.
Don't have a network of friends and family that can get them places, and even, you know, shopping and to other more entertainment bases, like to the movies or something yeah. like that. And they really need to have that option.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, I imagine just Groundswell Collective, too, when I think about it, you know, you are a collective, you mm-hmm. are the people. Even if it's just getting to a meeting, it gets mm-hmm. you out in the world. It gets you talking to people. It gets you connected yeah. over coffee or a meal mm-hmm. or, as you were doing, a mission. Mm-hmm. You have a mission with your group. And I think that's, you know, maybe an unthought of aspect that is a positive, which is to get people out there connecting, because mm-hmm. it's so easy to be at your computer. It's so mm-hmm. easy to be on your phone. Mm-hmm. I can contact all my, quote, friends on my phone, but really it's about, as you said, getting out in the world and connecting, whether it's for a doctor's appointment or going to the movies. So mm-hmm. I think that's yeah. a fantastic aspect to discuss, especially when it comes to what you are doing at Groundswell Collective. We're going to keep that conversation going to two big events, one taking place tonight and one then tomorrow. But if you have any questions or comments, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC is the number. You can always call or comment. You know, Jeremiah, like, what is your, do you yourself have any experience in organizing before you got involved with this group?
No, I mean, the reason I got connected is I'm a pastor in the county, and I just saw a need and found some connection with others who were wanting to really pursue thriving. And, and like, how can we do that? You mentioned, you know, seeing people, getting together, life on life connection. That's so, so important.
Yeah.
One of the things that I found is that for whatever reason, over the past year, I've been able to meet with civic leaders at the national level, at the state level, at the county level, at the local level. And I haven't yet in those in-person meetings, I haven't yet met somebody who isn't genuinely trying to serve the people.
Yeah.
You know, and they may do that in a different way than I would, but it's been so good for me to have those connections. And I celebrate that the people in Walworth County, our leaders there are so open to conversations, to hearing from the people. Maybe not on every issue. You know, you get those things where people have their own perspective.
Yeah.
But one of the great things we've learned about with organizing is how to have conversations that invite a different perspective when somebody might seem entrenched in a different perspective.
Because, and we say this all the time, you know, it's easy to isolate ourselves off into our social media worlds. But when we sit in a room together and we talk about what we want and what we need, it usually crosses paths.
Mm-hmm.
It usually connects. It really comes together. And the general things we want in this world, we agree with.
Yes.
If you'd like to find out more about Groundswell Collective, go to their Facebook page. In fact, go there today because this afternoon they are having an event, a call to action for childcare. Last night they gathered like minds together to talk about this issue, and today they're going to speak with the people who are in charge. Talk to elected officials, talk to people of influence in the community, and try to get something done for this very important issue that we in Wisconsin all agree with. Access to childcare is something that we all agree on, and we all think it's important. And Groundswell Collective is doing the real work to try to make that a reality in Walworth County. So check out their page on Facebook, Groundswell Collective. If you'd like to listen to that entire interview, there's way more to go with that. Go to civicmedia.us/shows. Look for Matt and Air on Air and download the episode entitled When We All Work Together. That's hour two of Matt and Air on Air from Monday, September 8th. Again, that's civicmedia.us/shows. Stick around because after the news, Pat welcomes Brittany Merlot with the weather, Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom on Capitol Hill, and Dan Schaefer at 8:35 with state politics. Stay tuned. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To take all your favorite WAUK shows with you on the go, download the free Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play Store. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach, and I'm back, and here is what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. Her intro music is back, and that means one thing and one thing only. Civic Media's multi-award-winning meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here to talk about not only the weather, but things that have to do with the weather, how we keep ourselves safe, how we keep ourselves prepared for what's going on. And today we're talking about a piece of technology that's designed to keep us safe when we're on the go, doing kind of those more extreme things out in the wild, whether we're in the air, on the water, or going for a real long hike. So if you feel like I'm talking to you, you want to take a listen. Brittany, it's always great to have you here talking about the weather, talking about what's going on in the world of weather. But today we're going to focus on something a little different, and that's keeping yourself safe. And there's a new device out there that you can keep on your person when you're traveling, whether you're on the land or on water. Tell us more about the personal black box.
Yeah, so a little bit of a dark topic. Maybe we, you know, try to stay away from that and thinking of the worst thing happening. But I like to plan. I like to be prepared. And I do like to venture out in the woods and places remote with no cell phone service quite often. So when I found out about this like personal black box tool that you can pretty much have on you wherever you are, I was pretty excited and felt, okay, I need this right now. So I first learned about it. I was at EAA talking to people and I met this lady from the Air Force. She turns out she works at the United States Mission Control Center and she handles all the data and all the messages and all the signals from this system. So what it is, it's a worldwide search and rescue satellite aided tracking system. 411 lives have already been saved from it last year. So it's already working. It's through NOAA, SARSAT, an emergency beacon. And this signal, basically, when it goes off, it can reach satellites up to 22,000 miles away in space.
Wow.
That satellite, yeah, it's really, really cool to think about. So that satellite picks up the data. It then sends it to a local user terminal, which is a receiving station that's here on land and stuff. And then that packages it up and sends it to the U.S. Mission Control Center, which grabs registration information, data on you, where it's at, who they need to call and contact. And it immediately goes to a local center where they send search and rescue, helicopters, boats, ambulances, whatever you need from that situation. So the key thing is you have to register it, right? So they know who's in trouble, who to contact, but it's always going to give that GPS location exactly where you are. And it's the quickest way to get a distress signal out and get help to you. And so they can find you pretty fast. And it goes through clouds. It goes through extreme weather. It goes through no cell phone service. And when we were talking, she was like, no, you need this on a boat. You need it when you're hiking. You need it when you're kayaking. And I was like, okay, how does it go off in the boat? What are you doing? Do you have to push a button in the emergency or what? And she said that the boat ones actually have a tab on them that when they're submerged, it disintegrates and sends the signal on its own. So if you're already in trouble and you can't hit that button, it's going off regardless and help is on its way to help you, which I think is crucial.
That is absolutely amazing. That reminds me of the feature on a lot of smartwatches now, where if you fall over, the watch can sense it and will request you tell them, have you fallen over? Do you need help? And if you don't respond in enough time, it will call 911 for you and relay the information. Now, is this an app? Is this a device? How much does it cost? How does one get one?
Yes. Okay. So you can find this pretty much anywhere, online, sporting goods stores. There are different kinds. So there's different prices for that. Mm-hmm. The ones for like airplanes, those will go off if they're smashed, right? So that's going to cost a little bit more versus a tab disintegrating versus one that you have on you. You can just Velcro it to you, wear it on a lanyard and push a button. Those are much more affordable. But yeah, you can find them anywhere. And I highly recommend it. And so does she. It was pretty cool to hear about. I mean, dark topic. You never want anything to happen. But if something happens, you want help as fast as possible.
Well, to be fair, though, Brittany, while it is a dark topic, we're talking about hypotheticals. And let's stay in the hypothetical and be proactive instead of having to be reactive on these matters. So it's always good to get this information out there. And this just sounds amazing. I can't believe I've never heard of this before. And it doesn't seem like the most modern of technology in as much as it feels like it's been around for a while. And this is the first time I'm ever hearing of it.
Same. And it has been around for a while. And it's just really cool to think about all of those satellites out in outer space could work to help us. I'm going to use them.
Love it. Now, what do we have coming up briefly in the weather this week? I know it got cooler last week. All of a sudden, it's 58 degrees. It feels like fall is coming here early. But what can we look forward to just in the days ahead?
Well, you know, another cold front coming through. How's that? Fall settling in. More rain. But hey, we stayed dry for a majority of the weekend. It was gorgeous for the holiday. But yeah, cold front moving through tomorrow should push a little bit of a quarter inch of rain or so through the area. But behind that, it does look like some mid 60s possibly Thursday and maybe some mid 60s as we go into the weekend as well. So fall weather is here. I mean, we saw frost advisories last week go out. I expect some more this week, possibly far up north. I don't think it's going to make its way here just yet, but hey, just know that the flannel weather is in full force.
I was going to say, time to bust out the flannel, time to put on those comfy wool socks, and as you put it, pumpkin spice and everything nice.
Yeah, hoodie weather, sweater weather.
Yeah, that's right. I'm deeply fluent in the language of hoodies, so I'm very much covered for the coming months. Brittany, thank you so much for being here. I always appreciate having you on the show, talking about not just the weather, but everything we need to know about the weather around us and how it affects us. And as you just put it, keeping us safe.
Absolutely. Got to do it. And I love it. Thank you so much, Greg.
Have a wonderful day, my friend.
You too.
Big thanks to Brittany Merlot for stopping by to talk to us about a very important thing. Always important to keep yourself safe when you're out there in the world. And if you want to read more from Brittany, that's simple. Go to civicmedia.us/news. There you will find a treasure trove of articles. And it's not just about the weather, but if you want to find out more, that's when you got to go to civicmedia.us/news. Stick around, because after Mornings with Pat Kreitlow is Matt and Air on Air with me, Greg Bach, and my guest at 9:35 is Pat Kreitlow. And at 10:06, Brian Wadsworth of Native Public Media is my guest. He's here to talk about the future of tribal stations around the country and a deal they struck with a South Dakota senator to save it, so stay tuned. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. Have a lovely Tuesday. I'll talk to you tomorrow. It's 8:29.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.